DavidRenicky.com, what a great website. The man himself, I got him with me right now. David, hello.
Very pre-Christmas. Good morning, Bilko.
Yes, the Santa being kind. What are you asking for, David?
Everything.
Come on.
Did you get a list yet?
I've got a list of things I want. I've got a telescope on there, but no one
you didn't get my list.
Oh, what's on yours?
I must have left you off. I'll have to put you back on the mailing.
Oh, thank you. Right, okay. And you're celebrating an anniversary of sorts. Tell us.
Yes, I am. Yep. 20 years old. I know that sounds crazy.
You're very wise. You're wise beyond your years, David.
20 years old as a radio person, talking on the news and on the radio like we are now. So, 20th anniversary of the service I put together, Astro Media Services, about 20 years ago, and up to 20 years when we got the website started with all the news on it. So, doing quite well at the moment. Up to 13 radio stations every week, all across Australia. And I think I've got an audience somewhere between 1.5, maybe 2 million people.
No, that'll be right. Yeah, that'll be right. And that website, DavidRenicky.com, you've got to actually bookmark it. Have a look down. Have a look down the side at all the different things you can do. If you want a present for someone who hasn't got or who wants something different, the Skywatch Observatory Dome stays in Coonabarabra. Now, you might think, why would I want to go out there? But if you're into the night sky, you need to get away from those populated areas. Yeah. You need to get out back as possible and... that's on my bucket list, David, to do one of those.
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
It would be awesome. Let's talk about a few things that have got us intrigued. NASA's just unveiled some brand new spacesuits. What's changed? We don't go to the toilet inside them anymore, is that right?
These spacesuits are quite revolutionary, yeah. The old spacesuit didn't give any flexibility whatsoever. And these ones are all brand new, and the video is worth looking at. I've got the video on my website. These are the ones that they're going to wear on the Artemis missions, going back to the moon and on to Mars. They're called mobility units, and it makes it much easier for the astronauts to swivel around from side to side, because it's like the robot on Lost in Space, where he used to swivel from side to side on bearings. His waist part was on. That's what they've got there.
Oh, okay.
And the old leg, they didn't have much leg movement in the old suits, and that's why they kept falling over in the low gravity on the moon. They got shoulder enhancements, better body motion, gloves too, that allow the fingers to move. The fingers in the other gloves were pretty solid. You couldn't move them very much, and holding on to tools and doing stuff like that was a little bit hard to do, you know. Now, these are user-friendly. I mean, women and men can use these as well with a slide mounted modification. And we've got a beaut video of this when she came out on stage there with the NASA administrator showing them off.
Do we still have to wear space nappies in those suits, though?
Yeah, you do, yeah. They're designed to protect temperature ranges between -156 degrees, that's pretty cold, up to about 120 degrees above, and that's on the moon. So these are the sort of surfaces, these are the sort of temperatures we're going to realise when we do go to the moon. There's no in-between, it's either hot or cold, because there's no air there to distribute the heat, you know.
Mm.
But they haven't worked out how to deal with the removal of body fluids in the suits for both. So they're working on that now, but this will all be taken care of. And the suits are used for spacewalks and while they're on the surface of the moon. The bright orange one is more like a flight suit.
Okay.
It's going to be used during launch and re-entry. Less cumbersome and more like a pair of overalls, I guess you'd call it. Enhanced, of course, but nice.
And don't forget, you're mentioning the Lost in Space robot. Netflix have got season 2 of Lost in Space, I think, Christmas Day or Boxing Day this year.
Yes.
Looking forward to that, to see where the family Robinson end up. That's really good. Hey, there's a question you're posing as well, and it's a question that's being posed by the wider scientific community. Should we be sending bacteria to Mars before humans? Why would you do that, David?
This is a pretty good story. It's got a lot of good science behind it.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite workable. The University of Netherlands have suggested we send bacteria to Mars and mine the Martian soil, because the Martian soil is mainly made up of magnetic oxide, iron oxide. See, Mars is called the Red Planet because all the rocks have got rusty over millions of years. The water dried up, and that's why it appears red. Now, over millions of years, too, the erosion of the rocks and all the dust on the surface there has turned the dust into very iron rich, and that's what the idea is behind this, to send a rover there full of bacteria. Now, this is a special sort of bacteria named Shewanella onodesis.
Very good.
Glad I got that one right. It's got the ability to eat the soil, get into the soil and take the iron out. Believe it or not, these little guys can do that. So they send a rover there with a bioreactor in it and a 3D printer. Now, the other two things will come into reason when I tell you why.
Yeah.
The robot roams around the surface there, picks up the dirt, drags it back inside, and they take it to a bioreactor where these bugs are. And they throw the bacteria in there for a little while, and just like a compost heap, this turns out magnetic material from the dirt called magnetite, little basically powdered iron, if you will. Now, the 3D printer can take that raw metal and turn it into a whole bunch of parts like screws and nuts and bolts and panels.
Wow.
And anything. So we can build, we can help build a colony there.
That would save dragging so much material from Earth. Good
well,
move.
Well, it's taking all that stuff, and that's going to cost a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why this is good. This is good. I like it. It's a good way to put a base together, and you'd send these things ahead of time, so they have a few years there to develop a certain amount and a reasonable amount of iron material or iron powder to work with. But bioprinters now and 3D printers are the things being used a lot on the space station.
Oh, that's how we'll do replacement limbs and everything in the future, 3D printing.
Yeah.
All right, more at davarenicki.com if you want to look at that story. There's also some unique Stargazer gifts. You notice you've got a section there for people who are racking their brain to find gifts for someone who loves the... Because, you know, people who aren't into it like you and I find it very hard to buy for people like you and I. So there's some ideas there if you want to look at that.
Well, especially telescopes. You know, this time of the year, people are looking at maybe getting a young person a telescope, and it's an open field. You don't know where to get some advice from or what to pick from. There's only one way to go with this, and that's to go to a shop that sells them. Don't go to a department store and buy a cheap thing off the rack there. It's not going to work. Get something worth a couple of $100. Get the advice of a camera shop who stocks telescopes.
Like a Ted's Camera House or something.
Deals in telescopes.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, the best advice to anyone who's either got a telescope and doesn't know how to use it or does get one over Christmas, in the new year, find your local astronomy group. They're only too willing to help you out. It's free tuition, and they'll give you lots of advice. And even if you get in before Christmas, these guys will do what we do here. They'll go out and they'll look around for a telescope for you, or give you, or have a look at one you intend to buy and give their opinion on.
There's a great bloke in the Rangers at Wapper Falls who has an observatory. His name's Owen, and people sort of mark him as a bit of a crazy man, but he certainly knows what he does. A lot of observation, David, so people know what he's up to. Hey, question you've got.
He's the one to go and see, I think.
Wapper Falls Observatory. One final thing, David. On DaveRenke.com, you're asking the question, what if the moon disappeared? I would think, and my kid has asked me the same question, if we didn't have the moon, would it matter? And when you think of it on the surface, you think, okay, what does the moon do? But it would change everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't change a lot, no. If the moon disappeared overnight and wasn't there tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, you wouldn't really notice it. The only thing you'd notice is a drop in the tides there. They'd be about half as big as what they are now, because the moon does influence the tides a fair bit. Now,
so you'd still get them. You'd still get tides.
You still get tides, because a lot of people don't know this, but the sun also has a marginal effect, a reasonable effect on the tides. So you'd still get tidal action, but the moon itself would not be there. You wouldn't get that nice Earth, that nice light coming back from the moon, reflected light onto the Earth as we see. You wouldn't have any interest in some of the beautiful songs and poems that we've had over the years of the moon. But it wouldn't really affect the Earth. We'd still travel around the sun the same way. Our axis wouldn't change. But it would be sad to lose an old companion like that, wouldn't it? But it can't. It won't. It is moving away from the Earth very slowly because of normal movement and centrifugal force throwing it out. It is moving away at only the rate of about 3 centimetres a year, and that's not a lot. So over hundreds of thousands of years, you wouldn't notice much difference. In a few million years, yes, you would. And there will come a time when there'll be no solar eclipses. because the moon will be too small to cover the disk of the sun completely. So at the moment, we're living in good times, and we've got a great moon up there, and it is a beautiful thing to have a look at through a telescope. Mm. Worst time to look at the moon through a telescope is when?
Full moon.
When it's full. There's too much light.
Exactly.
Do it when it's half or a quarter, and have a look at the craters, and you'll be astounded.
I love arguing with people who say, I've had a telescope up on that moon, and I can't see any evidence of where the moon landing was. And I'm thinking, mate,
I just
can find it.
I just say, oh, right.
Yeah.
We don't get into those. And whenever I get that silly question I've had for so long now, did they really go to the moon? I don't even answer anymore.
Can't be bothered.
I turn my ignorant switch on it. I can't handle that sort of logic anymore.
Yeah.
In this day and age, if you haven't got it by now, you'll never get it. You know?
Too much evidence out there.
Yeah, no, it's going to come out for Christmas. The skies are good, so get out and enjoy it. You've got some great skies up there.
Yeah, it's pretty nice if it's not too smoky. That's the only thing.
Still got fires?
No, we're not as bad as they've got, say, down the south coast at the moment, but we've still got a bit of smoke here and there. So.
How's it going out there? At least you can breathe outside now.
That's the main thing. All right, David, enjoy your anniversary. Have an extra cup of cocoa with a little bit of something in it, okay?
I'll do that right now.